This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, February 25th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, the federal stimulus package and what Illinois stands to get out of it. We'll also get a forecast from AM 580's Mike Sola. First, today's news. The city of Paxton will lose more than 200 jobs when its largest employer closes in the summer. Baltimore Air Coil announced yesterday it'll shut down its Paxton facility, which makes components for commercial and industrial cooling equipment. 223 people will be laid off beginning in May. The company cites the downturn in commercial construction. Bill Ingold is Paxton's mayor. He says he had heard rumors of the plant closing, but yesterday was the first real news. He says the city will try to lend a hand in finding new jobs for workers, much like it did 3 years ago when water bottler ClearSource closed.
We brought in the Department of Economic Opportunity from the state, and they had a job fair and told people, you know, how to fill paperwork out and how to do this, that they needed help with resumes, they'd help them and things like that. So we may sit down and try and do that again.
Baltimore Air Coil says it will also offer outplacement counseling and tuition assistance as part of its severance package. Ingold says it's getting increasingly difficult to attract new employers in the current economic environment, but Paxton is following a few leads. Voter turnout was below 3% in yesterday's primary for a Champaign City Council seat, but enough votes were cast to put write-in candidate Freddie Gordon on the April 7th ballot alongside William Kyles. The 43-year-old Gordon says he wants to continue economic development in District 1 and believes the city of Champaign can encourage that development despite the recession.
Trying to pull resources together, finding out what resources are available, and taking small steps. You know, we can't jump out there too big, of course, due to the way things are now. But I'm sure there's some kind of way that myself and the rest of the council members can come up with some solutions and ideas that will help the community kind of get over this hump of this economic situation we're going through right now.
Gordon says voters in District 1 have told him that economic development, fair housing, and concerns about contamination at the old Illinois Power coal gasification site at 5th and Hill Streets are top concerns. Meanwhile, William Kyle says voters are telling him they're concerned about crime and police-community relations. The 26-year-old Kyle says he's not worried that Gordon received more votes than him yesterday. The tally was 124-78 in favor of Gordon's write-in campaign. Both candidates will appear on the April 7th ballot in Champaign City Council District 1, which runs from the northeast side of town down to the U of I campus. The winner will succeed Gina Jackson, who's stepping down after one term. With the number of vacant buildings on the rise in Champaign, the City Council took another look last night at a proposed vacant buildings ordinance. But as AM 580's Jim Meadows reports, council members say the measure still needs more work.
The measure is misnamed, according to Councilmember Tom Bruno. He says its target isn't all vacant buildings, but vacant buildings that are neglected and turn into eyesores.
Had we somehow called this the problematic building ordinance or troublesome building ordinance, it might have not been felt as so threatening to people.
The proposed ordinance would register vacant buildings and open them up for periodic inspections. Owners would have to submit plans for fixing up or reusing their buildings. There would be fines for failure to make repairs, late submission of repair plans, and for leaving a building vacant for multiple years. The fines drew criticism from Champaign resident Andrew Timms.
You have to imagine that the majority of those people who own those properties don't have the funds to make the repairs, let alone pay $50 a day for not submitting a plan on time or some paperwork on time.
Champaign City staffers say the ordinance is meant to be flexible, taking into account the different circumstances of each property. City Council members say they want a vacant building ordinance, but think the measure still needs fine-tuning. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Embattled Illinois U.S. Senator Roland Burris doesn't appear to be going anywhere. That's despite a growing number of the state's politicians who say that Burris ought to resign. Sam Hudzik has an update.
Senator Dick Durbin says he told Burris in a private meeting yesterday that he thought the junior senator should step down. But Durbin says he'll find ways to cooperate with Burris in the Senate.
I'm going to do what's best for the state. And working with Senator Burris on some issues, absolutely essential.
Longtime Burris supporter Delmarie Cobb says Burris, likewise, plans to work with Durbin.
And the only way he wouldn't work together is if Senator Durbin tries to poison the well and to generate ill will towards Senator Burris.
Cobb announced yesterday she'd been hired by Burris to rehabilitate his image. She says Burris will not resign because he's done nothing wrong, a claim she says will be proved shortly. I'm Sam Hudzik.
A plan to change the way Illinois fills vacant U.S. Senate seats faces a tough road in the state legislature. Governor Pat Quinn and other advocates want to hold special elections to fill any vacancies. They say the governor alone should no longer be allowed to pick the new senator. But top Democrats in the legislature are showing little interest. A spokeswoman says Senate President John Cullerton supports the general idea but won't take a position on any specific bill unless the House passes something. House Speaker Michael Madigan says this idea is simply under review. Meanwhile, local officials object to the potential cost of a special session, perhaps $50 million. Republicans accuse Democrats of putting politics ahead of cleaning up Illinois government. They claim Democrats don't want to risk holding an election that they might lose. Increasingly, students who are studying to be veterinarians are interested in taking care of cats and dogs and not cows and pigs. Amanda Vinicky reports on what Illinois may do about that.
There's a shortage of what's termed large animal vets, the kind trained to deal with farm animals. Vets that have household pets as patients are usually paid better. Plus, as Republican Representative David Rice, who's from the Effingham area, says,
they don't get those calls at 2 o'clock in the morning to go out and pull a calf.
In other words, they don't have to serve as a cow's midwife. Jessica Hendrickson says that's the type of vet she wants to be. But Hendrickson, a first-year vet student at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, says she and other aspiring large animal vets have a problem paying off their large student debt load.
We often go to rural areas and underserved areas, and the economics aren't there to support us, and it is harder to pay off your bills.
That's where the state may step in. A measure before the Illinois House would give students like Hendrickson the chance to have their vet school loans partially forgiven. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Illinois is getting about $1.5 billion in federal funding for transportation projects through the economic stimulus package. The state has billions of dollars more in infrastructure needs, which means officials are faced with the daunting task of deciding which projects go forward and which are left out. Illinois Public Radio's Todd Fuhrer has more.
Illinois has gone 9 years without a major infrastructure program, which means there are a lot of crumbling roads, overcrowded schools, and loads of other construction needs on the state's to-do list. The stimulus plan will supply Illinois with more than $900 million for road and bridge repairs and another $670 million for mass transit projects. So it's easy to forgive state leaders for salivating at the opportunity. Paris Urban, a spokeswoman for the Illinois Department of Transportation, says it's a good start, but there's a long way to go.
This investment will certainly jumpstart Illinois' stagnant construction industry. However, the funding is not enough to address the billions of dollars in infrastructure needs on both the state and local systems.
In selecting how to divvy up the money, IDOT will need to follow federal regulations while balancing the competing needs of Illinois communities. It'll also factor in how close projects are to getting underway. The stimulus plan will require half of the transportation funding be spent on projects that are ready to go by April. Urban says that means shovel-ready projects will get top priority in the first wave of funding. The state legislature will need to approve using the stimulus money before projects can begin. Urban says they won't be expected to approve spending on a project-by-project basis. Instead, IDOT will seek approval for a lump sum for highway and bridge projects, and another for mass transit projects. Still, state lawmakers will have some input in helping the agency select which projects to fund first. Republican Senator Larry Bomke of Springfield says that will be a delicate balancing act for the state.
I'm concerned about my district and my general area. And I suspect there are 58 other senators who have the same feeling. So we're going to try to do what we can to direct money towards our district, working with our mayors in order to accomplish that objective.
Each district's needs are different. While most downstate districts will be focused on road and bridge repairs, Chicago area lawmakers want to address mass transit needs. House Democrat David Miller of Calumet City says low-income workers in his district and much of the southern suburbs are in need of a new commuter rail line that would run from downtown Chicago south to towns like Dalton and Crete.
But more importantly, if we're talking about being competitive and trying to attract the Olympics here, this would be a strong addition to transportation from the south suburbs to possibly Olympic Village in the south side of Chicago.
There's also a chance for still more federal cash. Illinois will compete for extra money that would fund Amtrak, high-speed rail, and airport projects. But Chicago Democrat Donnie Trotter, a top budget negotiator for Illinois Senate Democrats, says it's been clear from the beginning of President Barack Obama's term that Illinois couldn't rely on the stimulus plan to pay for all the state's infrastructure needs. He says state lawmakers must also pass their own state-funded construction plan.
Certainly we know how serious it is to have an infrastructure program coming. You know, we're going to need at least $9, $10 billion just to jumpstart a workable program.
Lawmakers and former Governor Rod Blagojevich tried, but could never come to an agreement on a construction program, in part because most legislators did not trust Blagojevich to oversee so much spending. New Governor Pat Quinn is pledged to make construction a priority, and lawmakers from both sides of the aisle have pledged to work with Quinn. So at least for now, all sides sound optimistic they can reach a deal. How to pay for it will be a big hurdle, and whether it's state funds or money from a federal stimulus package, there is always the difficult task of deciding where to put the money. I'm Todd Fuhrer.
Well, the latest forecast from the Severe Storms Forecast Center puts the Champaign-Urbana area in a slight risk for maybe some severe weather tomorrow. But in the meantime, we'll have a rather quiet day today, although a little breezy, intervals of clouds and sun, and today's high around 50 in Champaign-Urbana, winds from the south at 10 to 20 miles an hour. Light rain and drizzle are possible in some parts of the north with a cloudy sky, a few scattered showers in the far south, and highs today across the two states ranging from 42 in northern Indiana to around 60 in southwest Illinois. For tonight, mostly cloudy. There's a chance of a few showers, especially in northern and central Indiana. Lows tonight from 25 in far northwest Illinois to 48 in southern Illinois, 38 in Champaign-Urbana with cloudy skies. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with periods of rain and a few thunderstorms, especially in the northern two-thirds of the two states. Highs from only 38 in northwest Illinois to near 70 in the far south. In Champaign-Urbana, cloudy, periods of rain, maybe a thunderstorm, the high 56 with gusty winds at times from the southeast. Tomorrow night, cloudy with some rain during the evening, then turning colder with light rain changing to flurries after midnight, the low 32, only 37 with clouds on Friday, cloudy and 33 on Saturday. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, February 25th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.